Dave Moore on Today FM podcast.
Anna Geary is with me tonight at 9:35 on RTE2 and on the RTE player. You will find Love in the Country Series 2.
You know what? It was an appropriate song to play because we have a guy called Texas Ollie.
No way!
As one of our love hopefuls.
Amazing.
In his 70s. And he was touring all around the world. But you're the Buffalo Bill show?
Yes.
Yeah, so he was one of the horse trick trainers.
Oh my God.
So yeah, he's looking for a companion.
And is he looking for his first companion or has something happened in his life?
No, like, I think, like, you know what? One of the things that I love about Love in the Country is that it is a dating show and it is entertainment, but it is real. Like,
yes,
the people that are on it are there for legitimate reasons. So we've everybody from a 21-year-old that has openly said, I want to get better at talking to women because I don't know how to talk to women. I don't go on regular enough dates. Yeah. And then we have the other end of the spectrum, Ollie in his mid-70s saying, you know, my life choices have led me to here. I'm feeling a bit lonely. I'm not looking for a bride, but I am looking for a companion.
Yeah.
And I just think it's great because there's lots of different reasons people come on the show. Like, it's a global format. There's been hundreds of couples and even hundreds of babies, believe it or not, that have come out of it all over the world. But I suppose for me, it's lovely to see people coming onto it for different reasons.
Well, let's talk about how then it's kind of, you know, localised to Ireland then, because, you know, like, there's lots of different, you said, different versions. Farmer Wants a Wife,
yeah,
or whatever.
That's what it is.
That's
the
format.
The world,
But, you know, Love in the Country, like, there are definitely Irish traits to this series that I don't think are necessarily everywhere else. Am I right in that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Kite were, I suppose, really clear when they were making the show was that it has to be for an Irish audience. Mm. We have to put our Irish stamp on it. And I suppose, like, even the Irish sense of humour, like, some of the one-liners that are coming out of the daters and the people looking for love are hilarious. And I suppose, really, the reason why it's called Love in the Country as well in Ireland is it's not just farmers that
are
in rural Ireland.
No,
it could be, you know, principals of a small national school, butchers, undertakers, you know, it doesn't matter
anything,
what it is. Yeah, there's
but
lots
you live
of people
in the country.
Yeah, are tied to a location for a specific reason. And the reality is, you know, I suppose more and more people are leaving rural Ireland. There's less and less people that maybe you haven't sent a Valentine's card in second class, or you haven't kissed their cousin,
or
your neighbour. So, you know, the pool is small. And like, I was talking to somebody about this during last week, and I just said, you know, think about back in the day, like, my parents met in a dance hall.
Mm.
You know, they're not there to the same extent. They're few and far between, if they're even at all. Nightclubs are going.
Gone.
They're closing all the place.
Yeah.
Local pubs, like, they'll say themselves, I suppose the social scene is decimated. So if you're not near a big town or a city to have an active social life, it makes it very difficult unless you're willing to go online and go into apps. And that's not for everybody.
No, it's not. And even if your job is, you know, in a city, say, like, if you might live in the countryside, but your job might be in Galway, you'll bump into people. You will see the same person getting the same, you know, going to the same lunch place as you. And eventually, after a few weeks, you might pluck up the courage to say hi and blah, blah, whatever. But if you're tied, as you said, from a profession point of view to a location, and you deal with two suppliers or you deal with two, whatever it is, and you make the phone and you work hard on the farm or you work hard in the country doing what, if you're teaching the school and you're just focused on the school, you're not getting a chance to bump into anybody new.
Yeah.
And that's what this show does. Yeah.
And I think all of the rural romantics, as we call them, are all very open about their own challenges, like previous experiences at love, or maybe not at all for that reason, because the pool that they're looking at is very, very small. Or maybe they're going for the wrong person all the time because that's all that's available to them.
Yes.
And suddenly they want to go further afield. So I suppose Love in the Country, it opens them up to a whole host of people from all over the country, because much like people that can't leave rural Ireland are on the show, there's also people that maybe they've realised city life isn't for them, and all their life they've lived in the hustle and bustle and they want to relocate.
There
and,
you go.
You know, now with the hybrid working models that we've seen the last few years, people have the luxury now of actually moving away. So it's almost like, you know, sometimes people wanting to, you know, live out in the, you know, the open expanse of green fields. I mean, I grew up in that environment and it's gorgeous, but I also know the challenges that exist by living in those places.
100%. Can you remember Breida, who is a funeral celebrant, entertainer, comedian and part-time farmer? She is a catch already.
She is, and she's really into the holistic living, and she plants trees. She said herself they're her pension.
Okay.
So she's got a specific kind of tree that you'll see on the show. That
right.
She's, everyone's going to be, I think, growing them by the end of it, because they're like, why are they expensive? Are they good? But yeah, like, again, I suppose Breida, they're our first same-sex couple, and she's so open and honest. She's a brilliant personality. She puts herself out there and, you know, she wants to settle down.
Yeah.
She's realised that, and the show has made her, as you'll watch along the next few weeks, it's given her, I suppose, these opportunities to kind of reflect and what she thought she wanted versus what she wanted changed. And, and we've seen that in lots of them, how over time they've realised, actually, I told you I wanted ABC. But now that I have ABC sitting across the way from me, I don't want that at all. And so sometimes it's my job as nearly like their wingwoman to go, hang on now, remember you said to
me you wanted
this. But I suppose that's where the entertainment value comes from then too, because we're like a fly in the wall watching the awkwardness, the messiness that comes with dating,
which is
the
what
highs
it's all about,
and the lows.
Yeah.
When he texts me back, you know, all this thing. And I think that's what's great about it, because there is that, that reality of dating that comes to the fore.
And even look, when the ploughing was on, we were speaking to a lady called Mairead who went down, and she was running like an agency down there, matchmaking, just trying again get people involved in farming who, as you said, are just so focused on what they do and so tied to a location that this stuff can be difficult. But here we are, there are lots of opportunities.
And I think people have, like a lot of people now, I think there was an article recently I read that more people than ever before are finding it really hard to find a significant other, a partner, a wife, husband, whatever you're looking for, because that is the case, that we're not replacing what was once there as an outlet to meet people unless it's online. And like a lot, like,
and if you just don't want to do it, or you can't do it.
I was in that place, I don't know, would I like to meet somebody? And lots of people have met their significant others online, but it's just not for everybody. So this is giving people that, I suppose, that other alternative. And like we go back to the tried and tested methods. Like what you said, like the, I suppose it's the compatibility element. Like you see in matchmaking down through the years, like the letter writing, taking the time to you know, to write to somebody. Some people have said, I haven't written a letter since my leaving cert.
There you are.
I don't even know how to start. Yeah. So it's great.
Last one was in French.
Yeah. And we helped them every step of the way. But Dave, there's moments where, you know, you're putting your hand, your face into your hands going, I can't believe they said that. But that's what makes it so brilliant, because we've all been there. We know someone that's made those mistakes too.
Right. Well, 9:35 tonight on RTE2. Love in the Country. Do not miss it. Abby in Wicklow, Anna says, Dave, I absolutely adore the first season of Love in the Country. It was so wholesome and everyone, it was so genuine and lovely. I'm looking forward to watching the new season.
Oh, and that's exactly what we were trying to put across. I'm delighted, because it's always nerve-wracking when the first season comes out, because you don't know if people are going to connect with it or enjoy
it.
But I'm having people already come up to me say, when is it back? When is it back? So that's always a great sign. You know,
and tonight is the night.
Yeah, exactly. So
there is more TV though for you. And I've noticed on your Instagram, you've shared a couple of pics, perhaps behind the scenes of Ireland's Fittest Family. Are we coming back?
Yes, we're back at the end of this month. So I was away last year while I was busy having my little boy.
Yeah.
And, you know, just when I thought there's no way I can get more competitive, maybe now that I'm a mom, I'm going to be more relaxed, calmer, more rational. No, I'm more competitive than ever.
I would well imagine.
Because I missed it. So I did really miss it. I suppose the adrenaline junkie in me, I suppose, from my days of playing sport, now that you're not physically involved in the action, but you can be involved in a coaching role, so you kind of feel that you're still a part of it. So yeah, it's brilliant, and I'm back. I'm back for vengeance this year.
And is MEP Nina Carberry not able to?
I mean, she was busy, you know, taking on Europe.
That.
So Sonia's back.
Sonia's back.
Dunica and Davey. So yeah, exactly.
What a lineup!
It's great, and Sonia, like, you know, growing up as a hero of mine. Mm. So to go head to head with your hero, you're like, how is this even going to be? It's okay. I got to grips with it pretty quickly.
I would say so. I would say
sleeves are rolled up. That's it.
Listen, that's such a great show. And one of those things, again, that everybody just tunes into and connects with.
Because see, it's normal people.
Yeah.
Like ordinary people doing extraordinary things. That's what I always say. And what we people love is those moments throughout the show when the family surprise themselves, or members of the family step up beyond what they thought they were capable of. And this season, they have thrown so many new challenges at us. The audience will be delighted. The coaches, the stress, because you're seeing all these new challenges. You're trying to come up with tactics on the spot and then keeping fingers and toes crossed they work. And people will see when we kind of do things a little bit out of the ordinary and they work. But equally, when the coaches get it wrong, it's also
great
TV. Great for you, not necessarily for us.
Amazing. Listen, you've been in before, so I've asked you a lot of the questions that I ask my guests regularly when they're in. Mm-hmm. But I do have a couple of ones that I don't think. First of all, we'll just get the leg washing out of the way again. You are a leg washer. Am I right?
When I knew I was coming in here yesterday when I was having the shower, I was very conscious, like, do I wash my legs? And I was like, I don't know. Do I? Unless it's like, because we established that scrubbing off tan doesn't count.
No, exactly. So
I don't know. Yeah. I'm not playing, you see, Camogie in the throes of winter anymore. So I don't have the muck necessarily.
No muck and no exfoliation.
But if there was muck, I would have washed the legs.
Listen, even I say that.
Yeah, day to day now. Probably not. Yeah, the water runs down on them.
See,
know?
People are coming around to my way of thinking. I'm loving it. One of the questions I didn't ask you, though, is what posters did you have on your bedroom wall as a kid?
Okay. Right, I'm trying to think of my bedroom wall. I had Spice Girls.
Quality choice.
Boyzone.
Mm-hmm.
E17.
Mm. Which Boyzone member and which E17 member were you most enamoured with? Can you remember?
God, it's hard to know. I didn't really have one particular favourite, I'd say. In Tony, probably in E17.
Okay.
It probably was Ronan Keating, to be honest.
To be fair.
Like, it was, yeah, I think so. But all, at the time, we were just like, you know, T-shirts,
yes,
the whole lot. I also
the
had
thing.
Then like Lee Sharp.
Oh,
Eric Cantona.
Great taste, I will say.
Yeah, it's random. I had like Man United clock, Man United bed sheets. And then I went off like football, soccer, whatever you want to call it, for about a decade. And it's kind of the same with Formula One. And now I've come back into it.
Okay, interesting.
But I was always going to be Man U for life.
And are there any current Man United players who, if you were to have a poster, you wouldn't, of course.
No.
But if you were, is there anybody in the
I wouldn't put them on the wall at the moment. No, you have to do a bit more.
Neither would I. Anna Geary, best of luck with Love in the Country. It is on 9:35 tonight on RTE2 and available on the RTE player, particularly for those of us who are around the world and want a little slice of Ireland on your RTE player. Thanks so much for making the journey in and wearing the brightest top in Ireland.
You're very welcome.
Cheers, Anna.
Dave Moore on Today FM Podcast.